Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, February 8th edition of Byers & Company. City Hall Insider, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Tribune, Paul Osborne, in the studios along with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. Thursday. You know what that means. Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider, publisher of the Decatur Tribune. Jeff Daly, when is our election? March, is it 18th? Is that right?
No, 20th. March 20th.
I don't know why I had the 18th in my head.
I don't know. That would be a Sunday.
That would be tough to yeah. Well, I don't know. Aren't they open on Sundays all the way?
Probably.
We got early voting underway.
Early voting going on, yeah.
Yeah.
It starts today, as a matter of fact.
Early voting starts today?
Yes, it does.
And yet, this is maybe as quiet an election cycle as I have been through in a number of years. Paul Osborne joins us in studio, City Hall Insider. What say you? Does it seem quiet?
Oh, yeah. I think it's quiet. And that's strange because we talked about the contested races that we have.
So many offices up for grabs. New offices, new faces.
Right. Yeah. And so you start looking at that, it's like there should be a lot more activity out there. And I don't know if people are just tired of all political talk nationally and everywhere else. I'm not sure, but I don't sense the enthusiasm out there that you normally have. And that's sometimes if you just have an incumbent and a challenger, you have a lot more excitement, being stirred up. But here you have some important offices up for grabs, and early voting starts today, so people are going to start making choices today.
Yeah.
And there just hasn't been that much out there, at least that I've noted.
Yeah, I don't – where are we?
We've got some at the end of the next week, and then, like, after that, I mean –
right, my calendar starts over Monday, February 5th.
Oh.
Kind of hard to preview stuff. Not till the end of – I mean, are people just waiting for the day before the election to come in and do it?
I can't speak for them.
I'm saying who do we have booked? I mean,
we do have someone on Monday, and I think that's Butts is coming in Monday. Yeah.
So we have interviews set up, or we've reached out to all of the candidates for interviews, because you have the treasurer's race, you have the sheriff's race, and you have the state rep 101st race, which
and
county clerk, which are all in the primary process. Now, I get that some people are sort of figuring out what they're going to do in November, but you got to get through this race to begin with to get to November.
Yeah, if you don't make it through this race, then you won't be running in November. And I think that's an important point, that for those that say, I'll just wait till November and vote. Well, if you have a candidate that you like and he or she's involved in a primary, you better vote now.
I don't have a sense or a feel for it.
No.
Either. I mean, maybe I should. I don't know. If you just look, I know you reported last week about the money raised and you look at all of that. But still, at the end of the day, voters are going to go have their say, and that's going to mean either Butts or Tony Brown in the sheriff's race. It's going to mean either Todd Hendricks or Dan Calkins or Randy Keith in the 101st. And then you have I can't help it. I forgot this young lady's name last time, and then I heard from her husband, and it wasn't on purpose at all. What is the young lady's name who's running for Steve Bean's office?
Samantha Murray.
Thank you very much. Very nice. I met her when she first announced, and then she's running against Josh Tanner, right?
Correct.
In the primary. And then what else do we have in that race? The clerk? No, that was the clerk we just talked about. Treasurer?
Yeah. Treasurer is not contested.
We don't have a primary?
Primary.
Okay.
No. I mean, there'll be a primary, but they're going to win.
I think
Ed Yoder, the incumbent, is in there, and I don't know. Is he being challenged? I think they are.
There's a couple of. Yeah.
But there's no primary.
There's a Democrat candidate for Steve Bean's office, and there's a Democrat candidate against Yoder, but they're not facing an opponent in the primary.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it is just unusually sort of like crickets. I take that back. I do hear some advertising, right? I just heard, I think, was it Randy Keith? And I heard Dan Calkins. And I know that we have at least Jonathan Butts and Dan Calkins. There's a video up on nowdecatur.com, and there was another one. Who was coming in? Was it Todd Hendricks, I think, maybe? So, I mean, there is movement, and we do have more than a month to go before the election, and maybe it will all heat up. I don't know.
Well, I think, too, probably some. And the inquiries I've heard and the ads that are going to be placed in the Tribune, and we're a little different since we're a weekly newspaper, are mostly in March, the first couple of weeks of March. That's, and I don't know if the Tribune is reinforcing other advertising that's, you know, that's coming out, but I haven't seen hardly any in the daily newspaper either to this point.
Now, I've seen some digital, and we've seen a little bit of this and that. Uh-huh. I always wonder who's, like, advising candidates. You know, we had a meeting with the folks. We invited everyone who was running, and all of them sent representatives about just the stuff that we're doing now that's a little different than what it used to be. I mean, with the digital and videos and Facebook and social media and all of that. And you wonder, I mean, you used to have a sort of old school people who were always involved in these campaigns, right? Now you got new faces.
Right.
And I don't know where they cut their teeth running campaigns.
I don't know either. Because I'm surprised that I don't receive more information from those running these campaigns. Like, you know, we're
just
holding
press releases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've invited all of them, you know, send, you know, and if you're holding a fundraiser, let me know. Mm-hmm. You know, send me something and I'll get it in. It's free. So, and I just have not received that much. I've had several inquiries about letters to the editor that, you know, I guess they're going to round up some people or some people want to write letters to the editor and support and how many of those I'll print and that kind of thing. But it's still, it's behind other campaigns. And I think a couple of the candidates, you know, that I've interviewed have said, when I've mentioned this, they've said, you know, I sense the same thing. You know, it's just like I can't seem to get people enthused about this election. And maybe they're just burnt out by hearing, a daily dose of just bad politics.
Maybe. And maybe it's smart to dodge that. I really don't know. I don't have a sense of how things I take that back. I do have a sense of how things run. We stay on top of this. We spend a lot of money doing that. We do have, by the way, election profiles up on the election page at Adicator.com. We do have, I'm reading just as follows, Randy Keith, Jen McMillan, Todd Hendricks, Dan Calkins. So all of the candidates, they're there in that 101st. Samantha Murray, although we're, and Amy, how's Amy's last name pronounced? Roof,
I believe.
Roof, is it? Okay.
Yes.
Josh Tanner. And then there is Siobhan Francis and April Kostinski, who are candidates for Macon County Treasurer, James Root, Tony Brown, Jonathan Butt. So all the profiles, we sent those to them to fill out and send back to us about, you know, where they stand on issues. And so you can get basic information there. I don't want to make it sound like these folks haven't done anything.
Yeah,
I mean, they have responded. It just seems quiet.
Yeah, and in all fairness to Amy and to Josh and some of the others, you know, they made contact quite a while ago to come in and talk, so they were active in doing that. And
but you don't just do it once, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the weird thing. It's just sort of like you announce and you send out a press release, and then you just sort of normally I'm getting bugged at this point.
Yeah, you get to the point where you just like, hey, I can't print all of these.
One has just sort of been like not that much.
Yeah, and there really hasn't been. I think we got a couple last week too late, or this week too late for the paper, maybe from Randy Keith, an endorsement, and I think one or two other candidates. So maybe they're starting to.
Yeah,
going.
Who knows? Maybe it'll pick all up. And but anyway, we have all the election news, the election audio, voting information, sample ballots, candidate profiles. All of that is up at Nodicator.com to give you as much information as possible when you go to the polls, because we are filling a lot of offices with new people, but no matter what happens.
Yeah, I think it's the thing. You can provide a lot of information, but if you don't get a lot of voter interest, that information is out there for them to check. And I know you do a great job getting all the candidates in and that kind of thing, but if people don't really aren't really motivated to look at the primary and that, you know, that's too bad. I think there's more information out there or available than ever.
So, well, it ought to be. You know, there's so many platforms, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, check it out. Go to the Nodicator page, and you can follow the election page, and you can go to DecaturTribune.com, and Paul writes extensively about it. And we'll have more and more as we head up to this election on the 20th. And then head to the fall, because then Andy Menar, you know, he has an opponent. I mean, we'll have a lot of races that will heat up this fall, not the least of which is the governor's race. Now, J.B. Pritzker in trouble. I love the comment yesterday. It was really funny on social media. It's like, who cares what a local DJ thinks? Well, that's what I do.
Yeah. You got to spin some records.
Who cares what a union member thinks? I mean, is that how we now decide on who gets to have an opinion? My only opinion is that I'm tired of all of them, these politicians. And I don't think J.B. Pritzker is a racist. I think this is what politicians do with everybody. senior citizens, Republicans, Democrats, African Americans, whatever the group might be. They take all of you for granted. They think of you as just chess pieces on the board, and that's what they do, right?
Oh, yeah. That was just a question.
You just got caught talking about it honestly.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the thing. And I guess in one sense of the word, even though he goes overboard on it, Trump just tells you what he thinks of you, and he'll.
This was my whole thing about the naivete of these people who said we got to have more character in the Oval Office. Like, what do you think has been there? I mean, I know a lot of these people, these career politicians. I think that was sort of like this nonsense about him being unfit because of the uncouth things he says. Like, what do you think these people say behind the scenes? Yeah. I mean, we reelected Rod Blagojevich here.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're hearing some more things that he said.
Yeah, you want to talk about uncouth. I mean, you know, and he's sitting in jail, by the way.
Yeah, and the times I met him and met with him when I was mayor, he was, like, too busy, like, combing his hair, things like that.
Oh, it's absolutely just ridiculous. Like, there was no secret about what a jerk this guy was. I mean, it was obvious.
Yeah.
But Jamie Pritzker, the guy's under investigation. They're writing about it in the Chicago Tribune, and you're having this phone conversation?
Yeah. It just like, I think that's why people are so turned off anymore.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, we've heard this before, and we know we have a sense now that a lot of what we hear being spoken publicly, you say behind our backs, and you want us to come and vote for you.
And we know it. Yeah. And I don't even know if this harms J.B. Pritzker, because I think at the end of the day, we know. I mean, I don't think people have all that much. They're not naive about these folks, but this is exactly what we expect in Illinois, right?
Yeah, and I think people...
It's too bad.
Yeah. And I think that we've reached a level that's so low that it's hard to take a candidate out of the race by any one accusation or even the reality of hearing something going on, that people are saying, well, that's about the best we can do here in Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, you're just going to have to take... the lesser of all the evils, I guess. It's not like choosing the best person.
No, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this gubernatorial race in the same way they talked about the last presidential race. It's like, how many millions of people are there in Illinois? And these are the two people that it looks like we have to choose from. Just like they felt that way with Hillary and Trump. You know, it was like, okay, 300 million people. I mean, this is literally my choice.
Yeah, and it's we need candidates that define more about what this country's about instead of all the party fighting and infighting and that. And it's almost like, hey, you've forgotten those of us who vote for you. It's about each other.
Yeah,
you're at each other's throats, making the other person look bad. And it's just like, I'm so tired.
But that was just a blatantly honest political discussion that happens on a daily basis every single day here in Illinois that got caught on tape.
Yeah. And I think people would, even at this low ebb, people would be shocked if they heard all these conversations that go on. And some of these politicians are so bold.
Now, do I understand why African Americans are upset? Yeah. I mean, you just caught him openly talking about you. It was like a piece on a chessboard. It doesn't really matter. Here's how you do this. It's interchangeable. Everyone. I mean, it's crazy. But that's what they all think.
Yeah, and I think undoubtedly that's the reason for Trump's popularity, who, by the way, the latest polls shows that he's more popular now than Obama was at this stage in the presidency.
Yeah, but you can't believe that, Paul.
Yeah.
There's
only like 100 polls a day, so pick and choose the one that you want.
There's lies, damn lies, and statistics. That was the Mark Twain quote. So here you have it. We're there, and yet I hope this doesn't translate to these local races, because these local races are important. And I know what you think about the state of Illinois and what comes out of Springfield. I get it. I'm right there with you. I know what you think about Washington, D.C. and what comes out of there. I know I'm right there with you. And I don't hold either side more accountable or less accountable. I think they're all guilty of all of this. But your sheriff matters. You know, your treasurer, your clerk, you know, these offices matter. I mean, this is where your home is, where you live. What these people do matters.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right, because in these local races, these are good people, and there's not that kind of backbiting and pointing the finger. They're running more on their qualifications.
Yeah, although I will tell you, the one comment I get more than anything is, do you really think Dan Calkins can win this? I mean, there's this, it's not even a mean question. It's just sort of like a bit of incredulity. They just, can Dan Calkins win this? And I say to them, yeah.
Yeah, well, the money's behind him. That's for sure. And he's working hard at it. And
by the way, I'm a little surprised that the other two, who I find to be both very likable guys and were good guests, you know, they've been on this show once, and we'll have them on again before the election, that they haven't done more to like sort of become like Decatur specific.
Yeah. Yeah. I
mean, that was a strike against them when a lot of the population is here And people have a tendency to want their guy or gal, right? I mean, Congressman Davis is from Taylorville, but close enough. You know, we want our guy or gal.
Oh, yeah, and I think in the case of Dan Calkins, he's representing the district that I live. He lives probably half a mile from me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known Dan for years and years in many ways. And so I think his two challengers in this, I'm sure they're well-known in their respective communities.
Absolutely.
Sargordo, yeah. Monticello, I'm sure they're very popular there. And Dan may not be as popular in those, but they know the guys there.
But you got to get a lot of votes. I mean, Sargordo doesn't have enough to make up for Decatur.
Yeah, I think the challenge for those two would be to get better known in Decatur.
And maybe they have. Maybe they're about knocking out. I mean, who knows? I just have not.
Those are things we can't measure.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. You don't go with them.
I've got a couple of direct mail pieces from Dan. I live in the 101st, so I'm in the district, and so I've gotten a couple of direct mail pieces. You know, I'm looking at traditional advertising, you know, and newer sort of non-traditional advertising, and I seem to see Dan everywhere and not necessarily the other two.
Well, that's right, and I think that's an important point in Dan's campaign, that he's using some of the traditional advertising, but he's also going, you know, he's on the internet, he's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time I turn to check on a story, Dan comes up, you know, with a little commercial on that. I think, gosh, you know, does he own the internet now? And he's on TV, he's obviously in radio. It's like he's spreading it out, he's everywhere, the old and the new. He's using all of them.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we'll get back on the other side of the break. We'll talk a little bit about syntaxes. You write about that in the Today's Tribune, and there are some in Illinois who are really pushing to legalize marijuana. I am of a couple of schools of thought on this, and I think they're both worth pursuing the conversations. But I'm also wondering when it all stops on the taxation side of things, because as you accurately pointed out in the column that you wrote today, and I love the Ronald Reagan quote. I mean, I absolutely love it because he was so spot on. Lindsay, do you know what Reagan said about the government's view of the economy could be summed up in a few short phrases? If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it.
Mm,
and
that is,
of all times, sums up the way government looks at revenue more than anything I've ever heard in my entire life. We'll talk about that with the City Hall insider Paul Osborne. Here's Lindsay Romano with your 3-day forecast.
Chance of flurries this morning, otherwise partly sunny and highs near 33 degrees. For tonight, cloudy, lows around 26. Friday, mostly cloudy, highs near 41. And Saturday, chance of snow showers. Could even see some freezing rain with highs around 28 degrees. It is currently 16 degrees in downtown Decatur.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt & Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at MaroaLumber.com or give us a call, 794-22.
Hello, I'm Ouija Stewart with the Community Foundation of Macon County, where we connect the philanthropic goals of donors with the needs of our community. It is our passion and commitment to help people find ways to support the causes they care about, to make our community a better place. To us, because is more than just a word. It's an action and a reason. Because education matters. Because health matters. Because arts and recreation matter. Because our community matters. Whatever your cause, be the one to make a difference. You can give back to your community in the form of cash, appreciated stock, life insurance, wills, trusts, real estate, and even farmland. Learn more at endowdecatur.org or make an appointment by calling 429-3000. The Community Foundation of Macon County. Because it starts with you.
Valentine's Day is Wednesday, February 14th, and The Secret Garden has everything you need to make her day special. Start off with balloons, chocolates, a Lean & Tree greeting card, and top it off with a beautiful bouquet. They have a unique line of one-of-a-kind bouquets and, of course, the traditional dozen roses. Stop by the Secret Garden, 664 West El Dorado. Visit online at secretgardendecatur.com or call 217-362-8081. Select designs are limited, so order early for the best selection. When you say that you love
me, then I nearly got me. You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
All right, we got to explain. This is K-pop. This is Korean music, right?
Yes, this is BTS.
Which is expected to be like on display tomorrow night in the opening games there from Pyeongchang.
Definitely.
It's so weird. I told Paul I didn't recognize it as bump music. I thought it was a commercial or something. I'm not a big fan so far, I got to be honest with you. Although I am looking forward to the opening games. I like to see the culture on display, and this will be a big thing for the South Koreans. It actually is going to be like, what, like 6 a.m., 7 a.m., like our time, but they're going to air it tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on NBC. I like watching the opening games. I love the Olympics. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I think...
I'm also very much a homer. I like learning about South Korea, but I'm rooting for the USA.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think the opening ceremony, I don't know, it's kind of a sense of unity there.
It something. Is, and everybody comes, even the Koreans are coming together, right? Yeah. I know the Japanese are upset about that little dot on the flag, and there's some of that, and there's always a geopolitical undercurrent to all of this. But yes, at least the kids and the athletes are all there enjoying that experience together. And then I'm a huge fan of both the Summer Games and the Winter Games, and our full coverage brought to you by Hickory Point Bank. You'll be able to check it out on nowdecatur.com. We'll be doing daily updates, get metal counts, all of that. It'll be a lot of fun. The syntax argument. I used to be of the mind, and a part of me still is, about the marijuana discussion, is that why not just legalize it and tax it the way you do cigarettes or alcohol? And my thinking has changed on that as we have learned with this opioid crisis and how now that we've legalized marijuana in so many states that the cartels in Mexico have quit growing marijuana are now growing opiates because we pushed them out of the marijuana business, and the damage and the havoc that that is wreaking on this country has made me rethink the way I feel about this.
Yeah.
Not from a moral judgment, just... It just seems like it's causing problems.
Well, it seems like, you know, and the point that I'm sure as you know of that column is that this is, and it's called a sin tax. I don't think anyone calls it that anymore. That's what they used to call it.
Yeah.
You know, that because you do this, you're going to pay
sin tax and blue laws.
Yeah.
That's why you can't buy a car on Sundays.
No, and you shouldn't be working on Sunday either.
Yeah.
So, but I think you look at that and you say, you know, what's the motivation? You know, on one hand, a lot of times you're fighting a battle over here. On the other, you want to tax something.
I am cynical about, you know, the taxing part, because I think that's what governments live to do. Figure out a way to get more money from you, and how do we monopolize this, and then how do we make it a monetary benefit to our coffers? I mean, I never discount that thought process when it comes to politicians.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I'm much more cynical when the government says, we're doing this for your good, you know, but it's actually for the government's good. It's like, and you think you're going to pay off. I mean, the one sponsor of the bill said, well, this will be a way that we can use that tax revenue, and there will be a lot of it, you know, to deal with the budget. And, well, they won't. They'll just spend more money.
Yeah, that's because, right, the lottery is going to fix education.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the last addiction thing that they passed was going to fix education. They always wrap it around the kids. All right, we got to take a break for the news. We'll get back into that. And then what the city should do with their funding deficit and whether these programs should be cut. We'll talk to City Hall insider Paul Osborne all about that. Here's Jeff Daly with your news.
WSOY News Time is 7:29. Students from French Academy and Eisenhower High School have come together to work on an exhibit for the African American Cultural and Genealogical Society Museum. Sixth grade students at French STEM Academy and members of the Eisenhower Operation Calculus Club have been researching African American innovators to put together a display for the museum. Executive Director Evelyn Hood says she's happy to have the students show interest in her museum.
They were really excited about the museum and the things that they saw in the museum. So that's exciting, and then excited that they are learning about their history. That is more important to me than anything.
Hood says she has had students from other schools in District 61 and surrounding schools like Mount Zion contribute exhibits to the museum as well. She went on to say that she firmly believes people need to know their history to know where they can go in the future, so she's happy the museum has generated this sort of interest. It's all a part of celebrating Black History Month in Decatur. More news after Fox News, 7:30.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. There's a midnight deadline to avoid a government shutdown, and in the House, Alabama Republican Mo Brooks says the deal on the table has too much spending.
Those who vote for this bill are betraying our country's future.
Democrat Nancy Pelosi wants protection for some young illegal immigrants.
Let us thank and acknowledge the Dreamers for their courage, their optimism, their hope, their inspiration.
The Senate votes first. Still a mystery what happened to two Border Patrol agents in Texas in November.
Agent Rogelio Martinez and his partner were found badly hurt in a culvert. Martinez later died. An autopsy Tuesday found he had a fractured skull and eye socket and broken ribs. His partner, Stephen Garland, had similar injuries. President Trump said it was more proof a wall was needed. But now the FBI says after more than 600 interviews, there's no evidence of an attack.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal, the surviving agent, says he doesn't remember what happened. The local sheriff has said he thinks they were clipped by a truck. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WSOY News Time is 7:31. Early voting for the primary election is supposed to get underway today, and it will here in Macon County. However, millions of voters won't have the option to vote early because of pending candidate challenges across the state. The state's two most populous counties, Cook and DuPage, have delayed early voting until as late as February 21st in order to wait out final decisions on several candidate challenges. Elsewhere, particularly in counties downstate, clerks are proceeding today, offering caveats to voters who want to cast ballots. The result could be confusion for some, though. One candidate ballot challenge has statewide impact. A judge ruled Democratic Attorney General candidate Scott Drury can't be on the ballot over questions about his filing of a candidate economic disclosure statement. However, his name will be allowed to remain while he appeals. If Drury is ultimately ruled off, votes for him won't be counted, though he could still run as a write-in candidate. Again, early voting gets underway today at the Macon County Clerk's Office in downtown Decatur. In sports, Indianapolis Colts General Manager Chris Ballard has a message for New England. The rivalry is back on. He spoke to reporters for nearly a half hour yesterday, trying to explain why Josh McDaniels backed out of his deal to become the Colts' new head coach. The questions came about 24 hours after team officials announced the hiring on its Twitter account, and roughly 16 hours after McDaniels called to say he changed his mind. Tonight on WSOY Sport Talk, and that'll be followed by Fighting Illini Basketball. It's all coming your way tonight on News Talk 1340, WSOY AM and 103.3 FM. Your next news update comes your way at the top of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Newhoff Media, media made locally.
Visit KirklandFineArts.com to purchase tickets for the one-of-a-kind show, Mojo and the Bayou Gypsies, February 24th at 7:30 p.m. Mr. Mojo and his troupe of near-mad musical provocateurs are bringing an authentic Cajun experience of Zydeco music to Kirkland Fine Arts Center for a Mardi Gras celebration. Mojo and the Bayou Gypsies have poured Louisiana fire on audiences for over a quarter century. This show is hot. Don't miss out. Visit KirklandFineArts.com.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today we got a chance of flurries this morning. Otherwise, partly sunny and highs near 33. Tonight, cloudy, lows around 26. For your Friday, mostly cloudy, highs near 41. And Saturday, we've got a chance of snow showers. Could even see some freezing rain with highs near 28. It is 16 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Oh, yeah, we're introducing you to K-pop today. That's the big thing out of South Korea. Should be on full display tomorrow night during the opening ceremonies. Mark Tupper joins us, the executive sports editor of the Herald and Review. He's in each and every weekday morning with Tupper on Sports. All right, let's talk about the Winter Games.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I am like totally not into this at all. And yet I know by Saturday I'll probably be all about it. You know, it's one of those things that once the stories start to unfold, you you get into it and you do it every couple of years. But I was looking at the roster of announcers that NBC is wheeling in for this thing. And oh, my goodness, is it long? And they've got everybody who's ever had a microphone in front of their face and able to speak a sentence, including people from sports that you would not expect. Including David Faraday, which I'm pretty sure golf is not a Winter Olympic sport, but I will be curious to see in what way he contributes. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. And I know NASCAR's not involved, but he's going to do some things on short track speed skating and the tight turns and physical jostling that probably they will compare to stock car racing. So we'll see some interesting people trotted out by NBC as we watch this unfold over the next couple weeks. Just flipping over to NFL real quick, the Josh McDaniels stuff, really two interesting developments yesterday. Holy cow. You know, it turns out that his agent is Bob Lamonte, and he is also the agent for the Indianapolis Colts general manager, Chris Ballard. So that's a really interesting dynamic. The guy who's trying to hire him and then the guy both share the same agent. And so he obviously helps broker this deal. And then Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator for the Patriots, calls him, and he thinks, the agent thinks, that the call is going to be to help him prep for the press conference that the Colts had called to formally introduce him. And then McDaniels tells him, well, I'm going to back out of this deal. And the agent was shocked and told him if he did it, he was committing professional suicide. And McDaniels did it. And then yesterday, the agent dumped him as a client. And then at the press conference yesterday, in which the Colts awkwardly explained what happened and what's next and where they go, that general manager, Chris Ballard, ended his remarks by saying the rivalry's back on. The problem is that it hadn't been much of a rivalry lately. I think New England's been handling them pretty easily, but we will see where that goes. Meanwhile, I'm in Champaign yesterday, and I was talking to Lovey about Mike Fair, who was his defensive line coach until Mike Fair left to become the new defensive line coach for the Colts. And until the last couple of days, we'd been saying that Mike Fair was going to be Josh McDaniels' defensive line coach. It turns out Josh McDaniels didn't hire him. Chris Ballard hired him. I don't know if Josh told him, told Chris Ballard, look, I'm going to need a D-line coach. And Chris said, I've got the guy, I'll get him. But apparently Mike Fair is safe, that he has been told he will be the defensive line coach for the Colts, whoever the next head coach is. But man, oh man, these decisions affect a lot of people.
Yes, they do. On the other side of the break, we'll get to Big Ten and Illinois basketball with Mark Tupper. It's brought to you by Save More Pharmacy in Mount Zion.
Silly, practical, and romantic, all are words that describe the types of gifts at Save More Pharmacy. Valentine's Day is the 14th, and Save More has a great selection of items that your loved one will cherish. The store is filled with new home decor, beautiful Da Vinci jewelry, tons of natural life products, new willow tree figurines, funny slippers by Snoozy, Yankee candles, and lots more. Shop at Save More Pharmacy, Highway 121 in Mount Zion. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 7, and Saturday, 8 to 5.
Back here with Mark Tupper. All right, over to Big Ten basketball.
I watched a terrific Big Ten basketball game last night from West Lafayette, Indiana, where Big Ten leader Purdue was taking on the league's second-place team, Ohio State. Purdue ranked number 3 in the country, Ohio State number 14, so you got two top 15 teams nationally going at it. Illinois just played Ohio State Sunday in Columbus, and in that game, Ohio State's Kata Bates-Diop went nuts, 35 points, 13 rebounds. That's why I've been saying he will be the Big Ten Player of the Year. And last night, Ohio State was down by 14 with just over 10 minutes to play. Kind of one of those games, if you're watching it, where you got to make a decision. Am I going to hang in there with this thing or I'm going to bail? And I hung in there. Ohio State rallied and trailed by 1 with 16 seconds to go when Jayshon Tate drove to the basket and missed. But Bates-Diop got an unbelievable putback, a rebound, twisting, and putback all in one move. In heavy traffic, Ohio State held on and won 64-63. That puts Ohio State in the driver's seat to win the Big Ten championship. They have 5 games left, only 1 against a ranked team. That's when they play at Michigan. Purdue also with 5 left, also with 1 against a ranked team. That's at Michigan State, but Ohio State now owns the tiebreaker. Meanwhile, Illinois hosts a rematch with Wisconsin at 8 o'clock tonight, a game you can listen to right here. Illinois' worst game of the year, the only game where they did not show up. was at Wisconsin January 19th when they lost 75-50. In that game, it looked like Wisconsin was ready to really get revved up and go on a roll. But since then, Wisconsin has played five games and lost them all. So go figure. Illinois should win tonight. Home game, have to rebound better than they did Sunday at Ohio State where they got killed on the glass. Illinois favored by 5.5 tonight. And then after tonight, just three more home games left. They play Penn State Sunday evening. They play Nebraska next Sunday. And then they play Purdue at home on February the 22nd. Sport Talk tonight from 5 to 7. Brett Surfowski and Justin Kahn will be in the studio. I will be calling them at 6 o'clock from the State Farm Center. And I'll be at a press conference just before that to find out who gave the multi-million-dollar donation to the Football Performance Center. I think it's a Peoria person.
All right. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. We will see you tonight around 6 p.m. We have to take a break. By the way, I was looking at the political tweets on Decatur Politics on the Not Decatur election page. Are we following anybody but Jennifer McMillan? Because she's got like 7,000 tweets, and that's all I see on
that. That's apparently all who's posting at this particular point.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And none of the... Excuse me. None of the sheriff's candidates have.
We know that
accounts.
For a fact.
I have looked and looked and looked.
Have we
and
asked them? Isn't that part of their profile?
It was supposed to be, yeah.
Okay. I find it hard to believe she's the only candidate that has a Twitter account.
She's the only one tweeting, apparently.
She's tweeting a lot of stuff. I got to tell you, Jim McMillan in a district that's pretty Republican, some of the stuff she's tweeting, I mean, I'm
not
sure
helping
it's what she believes, but you know, you might as well declare that race over after the primary, right?
I would think, unfortunately, and I mean, you know.
And by the way, Andy Menar is part of our, and we're getting her retweets of his tweets, but not his tweets.
Okay.
He's up for election this year. Okay. Do we just have the primary people on there?
I was
focusing on our local candidates. Local
senator.
Okay, I will go add those in.
And he has an opponent as well.
I will
and
go
they're
add
very
those
active
in.
On Twitter. This is why I'm asking who's on this account.
I will go add those in.
Or we just change it to political tweets from Jim McMillan. We could just put that on there. That would be, you know, a little more accurate. We'll take a quick break here. Time for the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally dedicated for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Are you looking for a new TV? It can be confusing. Don't know OLED from WD-40? It's okay. That's where Liaison can help. Liaison has the same high-end products you'll find at the big box stores at comparable prices. But Liaison actually knows the products they sell and will gladly take the time to match you to the exact products you're looking for. If you really want to enjoy the big game or the Winter Olympics, Liaison has the best high-resolution 4K TVs on the market. Come talk to the pros at Liaison. Liaison has TVs from brands like Sony, Sharp, Samsung, and LG. Surround sound speakers and sound bars, projector screens, AVRs, theater-specific speakers, Blu-ray players, and the list goes on. And unlike the other guys, Liaison can design and install your home theater and surround sound system. Liaison, 288 Park Street in downtown Decatur, across from the post office, and at liaisonhomes.com. Liaison, connecting you to all things home.
Wow, it's cold out there. I was hoping to sell my house, but it looks like I better wait until it gets warm out again. No one buys homes in the winter.
Actually, in the first quarter of 2017 in Macon County, there were over 200 homes sold.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah, not too shabby, huh?
Not at all. Maybe I should give it a try. But who should I list my home with?
Well, out of those 200 real estate transactions, Brinkhotter & Associates took part in 60% of them. That's almost 1.5 homes every day.
Wow, Brinkhotter is pretty busy.
Yes, they are. And they've been invested in this community since 1965. They have the experience to get your home sold.
Brinkhotter & Associates it is. Winter weather, get ready.
If you're thinking about selling your home, lean on Brinkhotter & Associates, 50 years of experience. Search all area listings or connect with one of their agents today by going to Brinkhotter.com.
As your state representative, Dan Calkins will listen to you. He will work for you, and he will lead for you.
He's going to go to Springfield as a citizen statesman. What our founders envisioned.
People should vote for Dan Calkins because Dan Calkins is honest, he has integrity, and he will do what he says he's going to do, and he will fight to the end. Dan Calkins is a fighter. Dan's the man.
Vote for Dan Calkins, Republican for state representative.
Paid for by the committee to elect Dan Calkins.
This is Byers and Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, City Hall insider Paul Osborne in his normal slot here. Big fan of the K-pop music. He's kind of bouncing his head,
yeah,
getting into it a little
getting
bit.
Getting into it.
You ready for the opening ceremonies to run
out?
All right, 10 local organizations, Decatur groups, are in the middle of this city funding conversation. They all received letters basically saying, we want your financial statements, which I think is completely fair to ask for.
Yeah.
And they're under consideration because the council has said, you know, declining sales tax, all these different things. You know, they're not in the mood to raise taxes, which I think is a good thing. But why would you cut, I mean, the EDC, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Decatur Celebration, whatever on this list? Do you think this is just sort of transparency, or are they really looking at cutting this?
Well, I think they're considering all the options, and I think they're putting everything out there that, you know, that money is being contributed to or spent.
You know what I'd like to know? I'd like to look at salaries. You know, when we did this in the state of Illinois, you looked at like a barber in a jail versus a barber that owns his own business, and the government pay was off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a truck driver versus a truck driver. You look at a how come we never look at that?
I don't know. That's
because that's where all your cost is.
Oh yeah,
it's in people.
Yeah, and you either cut somewhere else or you lay off another person or two to make up the difference. That's kind of coming down to that because a lot of people were laid off a few years ago. To reduce that amount, and I think and I read a little bit about it at the end of the city column this week that most important I think is that financial statement, and
mm-hmm.
I can tell you when I was mayor, I know Lori Sturgill was not director of the celebration at that time, but certainly asked Fred Puglia over and over again for a financial statement, and basically said at one point, we're not going to do anything unless we see how your finances are. We did get a financial statement at the time, but the CPA who prepared that had a line on there, which basically made it useless because he said, I cannot verify these amounts.
Yeah.
I
don't have any idea. I'm not going to spend all morning heaping criticism at Fred, but I don't have any idea why they did what they did while he was running things. I mean, it didn't make any sense at all. But Lori and the entire crew, we had them in here. They were as transparent as could be about everything.
Yeah, and I think that's a reason that, you know, if you're going to be receiving money from the city, you owe it to the taxpayers, too.
I think that's completely fair.
And I think in defense, of Deneen Wilmoth and her organization, I mean, here's an organization that generates funds. Here's an organization that's basically an investment for the city. I think when you start looking at cutting, you know, organizations that make you money.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't. You lose money.
But when Councilman McDaniel says, and this was the quote that was in the Herald interview, these organizations need to stand on their own, whether it's Celebration or other organizations. That's odd coming from an organization that doesn't do anything on its own.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the city pays for everything with somebody else's dollars.
Oh, that's right, our dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a little highbrow lecturing to tell the Celebration, you need to stand on your own. We want to keep all the taxes we're collecting for ourselves. I look at what you get for $70,000, and $70,000 isn't going to solve your budget deficit one way or the other. And the tens of thousands of people that enjoy it, isn't that a pretty good bang for your buck?
Yeah, you would think so. And I think that's the argument certainly that's going to be made. There really isn't anything written in stone. It's basically, this is an area that we want to look at.
But he's also voted against everything that would help the Celebration make more money.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's how he feels about it.
No, I get it, but how do you get both sides in every argument if you're Pat McDaniel?
Yeah.
They come to you and say, we need this to be more financially viable, and you say no. Then they come to you and say, well, we still need your help, and then you say no. I mean, sooner or later, you got to support something. I mean, now, it'll be curious if this profiles and courage with Pat continues with a municipal ban, because that's like the third rail of politics in Decatur, Illinois, because they all vote. And they're spending $20,000 more on the municipal band and the dozens of people that attend versus the Decatur Celebration. And I love the municipal band. I'm not arguing to get rid of that. But if you look at bang for your buck, it's not even close.
I think Pat and the other council members, too, when they look at the financial statements, they have to be able to say,
I'll bet you $1,000 he supports the municipal band funding.
Yeah, and the rest of them may, too. Who knows? I mean, I think it's kind of sacred to the city.
I guess. Yeah. But it's kind of hard for me. I mean, if you can't justify $70,000 in in-kind services for the celebration, how in the world do you justify $90,000 for the municipal band?
Yeah, and that's a decision that the council will have to make and answer for,
yeah,
one way or the other. And I think also it shows and some of the ideas that the city manager threw out Monday night about, you know, moving the city offices, I think it shows that we're putting everything out here on the table. We want some feedback. We want the public also to say, mm-hmm, yeah, maybe you should cut here and that. Because, I mean, when you start cutting, the question may be, do we lay off a few people at the city or do we continue?
And without hurting services or whatever.
Yeah.
I just think this isn't the only area. It seems to be like the concentration has been like, this is the only area we can possibly cut.
Yeah. You know,
I think in government, you've always got some bloat.
Yeah. And I think also this is a pretty lean machine compared to what it was 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, I think there were funds available then that are no longer available. And I think they had a couple $1 million in that Looking for Lincoln Fund that, mm-hmm, was drained out for the general fund when things got tough. So there are resources they once had, they no longer have. And it's not just these organizations. I think looking at where the city offices are located, these other ideas being put forth, to me, the city manager saying, we're throwing all these options out here, and we're going to sort them out. And I think we're going to either reinforce that this organization is worth what we're contributing, or it's not worth as much.
And I think you also have to, and all of that is fine to have this conversation. But here's what I don't. We shouldn't let our community suffer because the state's not doing its job. I mean, that shouldn't mean the Decatur Celebration goes away.
Well, and I think that's the big point here. You know, we end up paying for all the mistakes of the state or for all the greed of the state. And then it comes back on you and say, you're just going to have to get rid of this here because
the Decatur Forsyth Classic or whatever it is.
I'm coping with those state mandates.
And by the way, before I get the mail, I'm not arguing that the municipal band be cut. I think they should fund all of this because I think if you add up the entire thing, it's nowhere near their budget. I mean, it's not going to change the budget deficit that much.
Well, I think it answers some questions when they look at this of the public saying, "Oh, why don't you cut this or why don't you cut that?" I think the council is going to be examining this and saying, "Well, this is the reason. You know, this is the reason we're not going to cut this. They're money makers for, mm-hmm, us. They bring revenue to the city. Why would you eliminate that?" And so I think that would give the public a better idea of why,
yeah,
money is going.
And as Billy Tice said, and by the way, if you're going to leak the letter to the paper, you probably ought to take your name off of it. I mean, we know who this was addressed to. They redacted the address, but not the actual name. But Billy writes, again, this action should be in no way be seen as a reflection of the services you should provide, but a necessary step in making a financially responsible decision on how best to fund critical community services. And I would wonder, this letter was dated January 23rd. We're only at February 8th. And they demanded this, like, immediately. I would like the city to turn on a dime like that.
Yeah.
And give them a lot of time.
Well, you think some of these organizations, it's just like the Convention and Visitors,
yeah,
Bureau, they give regular reports to the council, so they always have that prepared.
But Tuesday, February 20th is when they're going to actually do a study session on this, according to the letter by Billy Tice.
Yeah, and I think then the people that support these organizations, you know, they should show up and give the reasons why. And
but is Councilman McDaniel's comments fair? These organizations need to stand on their own. Really? So quality of life ought to be all privately funded. And I got news for you, Pat. Most of it is. Your $70,000 contribution is just one portion of this. It is standing on its own. And there's a ton of businesses that write checks and give money. I mean, the event isn't run on $70,000 of in-kind donations.
That's right, but it's important to continue, and I think that's...
No, yeah. but I'm saying it is... There are a lot of people that are making this happen. The city's not paying the bulk of what it costs to do the Decatur Celebration.
Yeah, I think, just looking at this from a realistic standpoint, if you're going to be contributing to these organizations, you may know at the time that they need this,
yeah,
but you need proof.
But it's also... But it's like $5,000 to Kono.
Yeah.
What is that going to do one way? I mean, thank God these people care about our neighborhoods.
Sure. Yeah.
$5,000?
Well, that's what you have. You have to take these items one by one. And
is say, there any yes, that you would have considered cutting as mayor?
I really haven't thought about it that much. I guess I just viewed it. I want to hear the feedback on this, and particularly in the financials. I want to see, can a few of these organizations stand on their own? Will they exist if the city does? If they're really
fair questions, fair questions to have.
And then if I would see these organizations can stand on their own without the city contributions, I would say it's time maybe to cut that maybe in half this year,
yeah,
and say next year, unless things improve, you know, the whole amount. But you've got to know, you've got to have the information before you can just make a blanket
I would just,
statement.
Everybody, that, you know, it's crazy. Like, they were just raise taxes. And now there's this, like, even from the mayor, this, like, well, we got to change how we're doing business. Well, okay, you got to be careful because you're never going to cut your way to prosperity. Never.
Yeah.
Right? And it's okay that you're a teetotaler now on holding the bottom line, but you also have to understand the importance of things to the community.
Yeah, I think that's right. I just think people don't realize generally how bad a financial position this city is in right now. And I think if you go to the taxpayers that no one wants to and say we need an increase, you've got to be able to prove.
Well, they've already done that. I mean, the gas tax and everything else.
Yeah, you've got to be able to prove. And talking about maybe increasing the utility tax and a few other things, you've got to be able to say we looked at all these organizations.
I guess. I think if most people are asked, they're going to say support the celebration. I think large scale.
Most people don't even.
Or the EDC, yeah, or the Convention and Visitors Bureau. I mean, those things are actually turning around and bringing a return on the investment. Certainly makes no sense. I remember the Illinois budget, they cut tourism. It's like, well, tourism's actually the one line item you have that's bringing dollars into this state. That's
business.
Smart. We'll take a break. Last one. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Chance of flurries this morning, then partly sunny, highs near 33. Tonight, cloudy, lows around 26. Friday, cloudy, highs near 41. Saturday, chance of snow, maybe some freezing rain, and highs near 28. It is currently 17 degrees in downtown Decatur. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital offers the most maternity options for your most important delivery. Just as you may be expanding your family, we are expanding the services we offer to provide you with the most comprehensive care options for your newborn. We hope you'll celebrate your newborn's first day with us. We're committed to taking care of your whole family for life. Learn more at stmarysdecatur.com/maternity.
Body cameras, a hotbed of controversy in central Illinois.
Police were being questioned more and more.
It's been a year since Springfield police started wearing them.
When you get out of the car, the camera's rolling.
But have they made a difference? We investigate. Tonight on News Channel 20 at 6.
Beverly Hills 90210 star Jason Priestley. On the next Entertainment Tonight, what he's only telling E.T. about his return to primetime.
It was really happening.
Plus, on the set of Jane the Virgin, as star Gina Rodriguez puts on her director's hat.
Ooh, love it!
And who will win Best of Show? We're on the road to the Oscars of Dog Shows.
Sir Walter Scott called them the most beautiful creatures of heaven.
Entertainment begins and ends with E.T.
Tonight at 6:30 on News Channel 20.
Toward the weekend, but that also includes some mixed precipitation to deal with. All in your 7-day outlook about 10 to 15 minutes away.
Wake up with Springfield's favorite weatherman, Joe Crane, tomorrow morning on News Channel 20 Sunrise.
Well, Paul, we come back and we say goodbye. It's that quick.
Okay, goodbye.
Enjoy the opening ceremonies, and we'll send you over a copy of that K-pop. I know you like
I'll
it
be
so
humming
much.
It. Yeah.
He'll be doing that in a V8 when he puts the paper to bed next week. You wait and see. All right, City Hall Insider Paul Osborne. If you missed any of the interview, great stuff the entire hour. You can check it out at Nauticator.com, the Nauticator app, or the iTunes Store podcast presented by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. News is coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.